So if Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose on the third day, then that really is the best news ever. That really is good news. It's the best news you could ever, ever receive. It's news worth singing about. It's news worth celebrating. It's news worth sharing with others. However, if Jesus died and hadn't rose from the dead on the third day, that really is bad news. And in chapter 15 of this book, which really is a letter written by Paul to a church in a place called Corinth, Paul lists some of the things showing just how bad it would be if Jesus had died but had not risen from the dead. This is what he says. So if Jesus had died and not risen from the dead, he said, our preaching, our gospel preaching, our good news preaching to you is useless. Your faith, that's completely empty. Our sins, they're unforgiven. Your loved ones, your believing loved ones, are lost. They are not in heaven at all. So the good news that Paul preached to the Corinthian church can only be good news if it's true news. So Paul writes to remind them of two things. This is what he says to them and to us. It's true. That's the first thing he said. It's true. Jesus rose from the dead. And the second thing he says, I want to tell you what that truth means for you. So it's true and what it means for you. That's really what he's writing about in chapter 15. Boys and girls, I'm going to need your help in a minute, okay? I need some help. I need some loud voices. I need some clear actions, okay? I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to say in a moment. So Paul writes and says, Jesus did die. He did rise again. It's true. Therefore, these are the things which are true for you. Okay, hopefully all that will make sense now. Boys and girls, here's what I want you to shout out. When you see a speech bubble, I want you to shout out what it says in the speech bubble, okay? So I'm going to read the first part. Like preaching, our preaching is not useless. I want you to shout out, it's powerful, okay? And I want you to grab your fist and go, it's powerful, okay? Can you do that? So a little practice. It's powerful. Okay, here's the second one. So our faith is not empty. It's meaningful. We need a new action for meaningful, don't we? That's powerful. What about, you know when the footballers run on the pitch and they score a goal and they tap their badge, don't they? Say, yes, I love this club. It's meaningful. Okay, what's the next one? Okay, our sins are not unforgiven there. They're forgiven. So what I want you to do is to kind of wipe clean. Like you're wiping a board with writing on it. Wipe clean. And then here's the next one. Our loved ones are not lost. I want you to do this. I want you to, two hands, like you're grabbing something. They're safe, okay? Can you do that? Right. Let's have a little practice, okay? Because Jesus died and rose again, our preaching is not useless. Let's try that again. Because Jesus died and rose again, our preaching is not useless.
It's
powerful. Brilliant. Because Jesus died and rose again, our faith is not empty. Because Jesus died and rose again, our sins are not unforgiven. Brilliant. One more. Because Jesus died and rose again, our loved ones are not lost. Brilliant. It's true. And this is what it means for you. It's true. And this is what it means for you. Our preaching is not useless, it's powerful. Your faith is not empty, it's meaningful. Your sins are not unforgiven, they are forgiven. Your believing loved ones are not lost, they're safe. And he says to them, if you get this wrong, if you get facts about the death and resurrection of Jesus wrong, you'll get everything wrong. He says, this is of first importance. This is top priority. So what he does, he reminds them that there are some really good reasons to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So boys and girls, join me up at the front. Today, we're going to investigate the resurrection. We're going to have a look at some of the things that happened in that first Easter story so that we can know it's true. Okay, come and grab a seat. Okay, we're going to be investigators. We're going to be detectives. We're going to be myth busters this morning. How does that sound? That's it. Grab a seat. So, how are you doing? All right? Had a nice Easter holiday? The first thing that Paul says, that on the third day, he says that Jesus has risen from the dead. He said it happened on the third day. So the third day is Sunday. So first day was Friday, second day was Saturday, third day was Sunday. So I want to remind you what happened on that Sunday morning. Some ladies, Mary, and a lady called Salome, they went to the tomb of Jesus and they expected to find a big rock, a big stone covering the entrance to Jesus' tomb, because his tomb was like a cave with a big rock in front of it. But that's not what they found. They found something completely different. Now, I want you to imagine something for me, boys and girls. I want you to imagine on a Good Friday, you come to church and you're given some Easter eggs. Anybody have any Easter eggs this Easter? Anybody have some Easter eggs? Nobody? Wow. That was an awful Easter for you guys, wasn't it? I got some Easter eggs. And I want you to imagine you got one on Good Friday, and when you got home you thought, because you knew you weren't allowed to eat them until Easter Sunday, I'm going to have to keep it safe for myself and from other people. So what you do, you get a safe box, all right? So you get the safe box, and you put it in, and you shut it tight, and you lock it, and then you think, do you know what, I don't even think that's going to be enough. So you get some tape, and you think, I know, I'll seal it up. I'm going to seal this box up so nobody can get into it. But you know what, I don't even think that's going to be enough. I'm going to get a note from Dad. So it says, private, do not open, and you get Dad to sign it. So anybody who's thinking about opening your safe box to get your Easter egg won't do it, all right? And then Easter morning, you get up and you go to your box. What are you expecting to find in that box? You're expecting to find an Easter egg, aren't you? Because you put it in the box and you locked it and you sealed it and you put a note on it. And that's just what the ladies expected to find on that first Easter morning. They'd seen Jesus being put in this tomb. They'd seen a big rock rolled in its place in the doorway. So when they went on Sunday morning, they expected to find a big rock. But that's not what they found at all. When they opened, when they got there, they didn't find the tomb locked, sealed. They found it had been opened. The stone had been rolled away. And Jesus wasn't in there at all. What happened? If you'd have woke up on Easter morning and opened your box and it wasn't in there, you'd be saying, who's had my egg? What's happened? Something's happened, hasn't it? What happened that first Easter morning? Some people said Jesus didn't really die. That's why the tomb was empty. But we know for sure that Jesus did really die. Some people say the ladies went to the wrong tomb. But we know they went to the right tomb because they saw Jesus placed in the tomb. And there was an angel there. And the angel hadn't got the wrong tomb. Okay? And here's the third reason that people say the tomb was empty. So the disciples stole the body. But we know they were terrified. They wouldn't have broken the seal that the governor had put on it. They weren't strong enough to move a stone. They weren't brave enough to take on the soldiers. We know the truth. The tomb was empty because Jesus really had risen from the dead. That's what the empty tomb tells us. And because it's true, because it's true, this is what's true for you if you believe in Jesus. But the good news preaching is not useless. It's... Come on, boys and girls, wakey, wakey. Because it's true, the gospel preaching is not useless. Our faith is not empty. Our sins are not unforgiven. Our loved ones are not lost. They're safe. The grown-ups are doing much better than you today, boys and girls. But there's time for that to change. So the first big clue that we saw this morning was the empty tomb. The second big clue is this. The second big clue that tells us that Jesus actually died and rose again was that Jesus was seen alive by many different people at different times after his death. We call them witnesses. And witnesses are really, really important when gathering evidence. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in this letter, reminds the church there of the many people who saw Jesus after his death. So he says there was Cephas or Peter, there was the 12. There was one occasion when more than 500 people saw him at one time. There was James, and there was all the apostles. And then Paul says, I've seen him myself, though he saw him at a different time and in a different way. It was a kind of unusual appearance. But Paul too said that he had met the risen Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. It's a sign you sometimes see on the side of the road. And what the police are asking for is witnesses. Did anybody see this? It would be really, really helpful if somebody saw this. We could gather evidence. We could know what really happened if we had some witnesses. Okay, who can catch? Gabriel, can you catch? You've seen what I've got in my hand, and you're feeling a bit nervous, aren't you? Can you catch? Anybody else like to catch? Come on, Gabriel, you'll be fine. I trust you. You can stay where you are, it's fine. You can stand up? You can stand up and stay where you are? Do you reckon you can catch this egg? What do you reckon? You don't reckon you can do it? I think you can. You ready? One, two, three. Yeah, well done. Do you want to throw it back? There's 150, 180 people this morning who witnessed Gabriel catching an egg this morning and me dropping the egg. So all you hear this morning are witnesses. Together, your combined testimony is really, really powerful. And that's what Paul was saying when he was writing to the Corinthians. One time, more than 500 people saw Jesus in one place. And if you don't believe me, go and ask them, because they're still alive. He was so sure about what he was saying, he was inviting them to go and ask those living witnesses. Witnesses are really, really important. If you've got the paper tomorrow, the Liverpool Echo or the local paper, and it said, pastor seen stealing Easter egg from Tesco's, you'd know it wasn't me, okay? Because I was here, wasn't I? I was here on Sunday morning. It wasn't me on Sunday morning who was stealing an Easter egg. It's the power of witnesses. There's a second big clue. We know that Jesus really did die and rise again. And Paul is saying, this is true news. Therefore, it's good news. Jesus has died and been risen. Therefore, this is what it means for you. It's true. Therefore, this is what it means for you. Our preaching is not useless. Our preaching is not useless. It's... Our faith is not empty. Our sins are not unforgiven. Our believing loved ones are not lost. Brilliant. It's true. And this is what it means for you. If you've still got your Bibles open, just look at verse 2. Paul says this is good news. This is great news for all who believe. It's true news. Therefore, it's good news, but it's only good news for those who believe and keep believing the gospel. He said, I came and preached this good news gospel to you. You believed it, but it's only good news if you believe it, if you put your faith in the risen Jesus for yourself. Clue number 2, there were many witnesses. Okay, so here's the third clue. First clue was that there was an empty tomb that Sunday morning. The second clue was the many witnesses. Here's a third clue. It's the evidence of changed lives. So, as we noted before, Paul names a number of people in this passage, one of them being Peter. I just want you to think for a moment at the amazing change in the life of the disciples, and particularly in the life of Peter. Remember the night that Jesus died. Remember how scared he was? That even before a servant girl, Peter said, "I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. No, not me. I wasn't there. I wasn't with this guy." Then just a few days later, Peter is putting his own life at risk, preaching the risen Jesus. Something's happened there, hasn't it? Something has got to account for that amazing change in the life of Peter. And think of the disciples too, just after the death of Jesus. Where were the disciples? They were locked in a room, in hiding. They were terrified of the Jews. But only days later, they too were willing to tell other people that Jesus had died and had risen from the dead. I want you to think about Paul for a minute as well. I want you to think about the change in Paul's life. So he was once called Saul, he's now called Paul. He's writing to these Christian people. He'd visited them to preach the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. He'd gone in person. That's such an amazing change, because not long before that, he was persecuting Christians. He was putting them in prison. He was accusing them. He was approving of their death. Something amazing had happened to Peter, the disciples, and this guy called Saul. What can explain that transformation? I don't think there's anything in this whole world that can explain the transformation in their lives other than the true news that Jesus Christ physically, actually, bodily, arose from the dead. That's what Paul's saying to them. This is true, and this is what it means for you. This is true, and this is what it means for you if you believe and you keep on believing this gospel. That's what verse 2 says. So, true, you, verse 2. It's true. It's what it means for you if you keep believing, as Paul lays out in verse 2. So, you ready, boys and girls? You ready? Are you sure you're ready? Okay. Because it's true, this is what it means for you if you're a believer. Our gospel preaching is not useless. Our faith is not empty. Our sins are not unforgiven. Our believing loved ones are not lost. It's true. And this is what it means for you. Boys and girls, I'm going to really test you now to see if you've been listening this morning. We've got a quiz for you, and this is where your bits of coloured paper are going to come in handy, all right? You're going to need your bits of coloured paper now. So, I'm going to ask a question. It's multiple choice. There's three possible answers. If you think it's the first answer, hold up the red piece of paper. If you think it's the second answer, hold up the green piece of paper. And if you think it's the third answer, hold up the blue piece of paper. Okay, so we've got six questions. Here's the first one. So, I think you might need some really good eyesight to see that. But remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Who did Paul name first? So he appeared to somebody and then to the 12. Okay, so which of the disciples did Jesus appear to first? So if you think it's Peter, hold up red. If you think it's Paul, hold up green. Green, and if you think it's James, hold up blue. Okay, let's see them. So you've got one green and one red. And I see brother and sister disagreeing for a change. We've got some red, lots of reds and a couple of blues. It was, in fact, Peter, or Cephas as he was named in the reading. Okay, here's the second question. So how many people did Paul say that Jesus appeared to on one occasion? If you think it's the first answer, if you think it's 100, hold up red. If you think it's the second answer, 300, hold up green. And if you think it's the third answer, 500, hold up blue. Okay, let's see your piece of paper. Let's see them. Some not sure, lots of blues. Very well done, it was 500. So here's the third question. Jesus rose on which day? The first day, the second day, or the third day? So if you think it's the first day, that's red. Second day, green. Third day is blue. Again, lots of blues. Very well done. Okay, here's the next question. So Paul says that what he taught them about Jesus, his death and resurrection, was of first importance, second importance, or third importance. Can you remember that one? So if you think it's first importance, that's red. Second importance, green. Third importance, then that's blue. What do we reckon? It's got lots of reds. Brilliant. Well done. It's a top priority, he was saying. It's the most important thing. If you're going to get anything wrong in life, don't get this wrong. Okay, two more questions. The word gospel means bad news, sad news, or good news. If you think it's bad news, that's red. If you think it's sad news, that's green. If you think it's good news, it's blue. What have we got? Again, lots of blues. Brilliant. Very well done. And last question. Paul said that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to the Sunday newspaper, or according to the scribes and the Pharisees. So if you think it's the scriptures, that's red. If you think it's the newspaper, that's green. And if you think it's the scribes and the Pharisees, it's blue. Let's see that colour. What colour have we got? Got lots of red. Brilliant. Yet the scriptures said, and Jesus said he would rise. Jesus said I'd rise on the third day, and he did. We can trust Jesus. Okay, we're just going to have a memory verse to close with before we sing. Here's the verse I want you to learn, to know before you go home. So again, it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is verse 20. So this is just a few verses after the verses that Nick read for us. What we have here is a good news memory verse. So Paul's saying, but in fact, so it's true. He's underlining the point. This is true. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And then he uses this slightly unusual phrase for us. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So fallen asleep, he's talking about dying. First fruits, he's talking about at harvest time, if you say you've got an apple tree or a fruit tree, there's always some fruit that mature first, and they're picked first, and they're like a sign of what's to come. They're the first of many. And what Paul's saying, Jesus is the first of many. What happened to Jesus will happen to all those who believe in him. Jesus rose, and because he rose, because it's true, all those who believe in him, they too will rise. They will have eternal life. They too will have resurrection life. So we're going to learn this verse together. We'll just do some actions just to help us. So we're going to do this. But in fact, boys and girls, you ready? We're going to write down some facts. If you're writing something down, if you're witnessing something, you write it down. But in fact, Christ has been raised. And then when our hands are in the air, we're going to do this. We're going to pick some first fruits. The first fruits of those. We're going to do fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a really nice way the Bible uses of saying dying. Okay? And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. So, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20. So, let me hear the words and let me see the action. So, are you ready? But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Do you believe what is true about Jesus? That he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. Do you believe it with all your heart? Then what's true of Jesus will be true of you. You will die, but you will rise. You have hope beyond the grave because of Jesus. This good news is good news because it's true news. Let me pray before we sing. Lord, we thank you so much for everything we've been learning this morning about the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But thank you that we are not putting our faith in fairy tales, in myths, in made up stories. And because this is true, thank you for all these wonderful things that can be true of us too. Lord, give us believing hearts. Help us to believe the good news about Jesus. And help us to keep believing the good news about Jesus. And help us to tell others the good news about Jesus. What a great and glorious Savior we have. May he fill our thoughts and fill our praise today. In Jesus' name, amen.